Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
We can't hear another episode of Atlanta Business Radio, but it's a very special one. It's the Supply Chain Now radio show where we got our friends from Apex coming in here talking supply chain. Katie?
Yeah, it is time for Supply Chain Now radio powered by Apex Atlanta. Broadcasting live from the supply chain capital of the Southeast, Atlanta, Georgia, Supply Chain Now Radio focuses on the best of all things supply chain, the people, the technology, the best practices, and the critical issues of the day.
All right. I got with me my partner in crime here, Scott Luton. Welcome, Scott.
Hey, good morning. Glad to be here, Lee.
Got a full house. You got some paparazzi. You got some great guests.
We sure do. Have a home run panel, as always. And I got to make a quick editorial. We've got a promotion after the last show. So instead of Supply Chain Capital of the Southeast, Todd Craig with Blue Ridge Global said it should be the Supply Chain Capital of the Universe.
Of the universe.
We've got to work really? On changing that.
Did you get approval there. From the universe?
We sure did. Increase, salary increase, whole nine yards.
All right.
But yeah, we've got a great panel here today. I want to introduce our panelists real quick. Mark Balti, EVP of Research and Development at Logility. Good morning, Mark.
Great. Good morning.
Rob Dillon, Chair of the Logistics Georgia Logistics Summit Executive Committee. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you. Chris Barnes, the boss. He's President and Executive Director of Apex Atlanta. Good morning.
Good morning, Scott.
And you're also saving the world one warehouse at a time, I believe,
one
right?
One warehouse at a time.
Okay. Well, great lineup today.
Saving the universe.
That's right. Mark, Rob, and Chris, we've got a great conversation teed up. So, Lee, we're going to start with four things to know in supply chain now.
Four. What happened to five? I thought we normally do five.
The fifth didn't develop quite enough, so we had to cut it. So,
live radio.
That's right. Live radio. If it doesn't work, you gotta make it go away. All right. So, the first topic we're going to bring up today is the topic of China banning foreign waste. So, we were reading an NPR report here over the last week. If you didn't know, the U.S. exports about 1/3 of its recycling, and nearly half of that, so if my math is right, 1/6 of that goes to China. For decades, China has used recyclables from around the world to supply its manufacturing boom. But this summer, it declared that this foreign waste includes too many non-recyclable, is that the right word?
Recyclable.
Materials that are dirty, it is now, adding a syllable, that are dirty or even hazardous. So in a filing with the World Trade Organization, the country listed 24 kinds of solid waste it would ban to protect China's environmental interests and people's health, as it was worded. The ban goes fully into effect January 1st, and some companies, they're hoping China reverses this decision, but some companies here in the States and elsewhere are exploring the use of robot pickers to help clean recyclables even further. So let's talk about impact. You know, I think the impact is still being measured if the decision sticks. But in the meantime, short term, corrugated cardboard and other paper-based materials could cost a lot more. Shipping lanes, which many have been set with this recyclable traffic back and forth, all that is thrown for a loop. And space, just space, you know, the basic problem. Space companies, I was reading on the West Coast, one manufacturer that exported all of its recyclable material is having to put bales of material in the company parking lot. So big impacts. And I've got a dirty secret. Lee does not recycle, right?
That's not true. That's
well, Scott, I think
kind of scandal.
What that's going to do really is obviously it creates a global impact in terms of where the waste is going to go. But I think if you look at it from a North America perspective, it's going to have an impact around what you might hear around the green supply chain or sustainability. So companies are going to be looking at ways of creating less waste so there's less of a need to ship it to other places and fill up the landfills.
So no other country is stepping up and saying, look, there's an opportunity now?
Not yet. I think Canada was starting to raise its hand. I don't know.
I think
not
there's yet. Significant impact to the United Kingdom as well.
That's a great point.
They're using China a good bit.
Yeah. The article also mentioned Hong Kong. You know, the local area, Hong Kong, was really suffering from the early ramifications from the ban. So
and
we'll see how that develops.
Scott, if you end up taking an Apex education class, you'll learn the waste hierarchy is
The waste hierarchy.
I've got my CSCP.
You'll just the lowest level is disposal, which creates the waste, and then obviously if you can recover any waste, the third level is recycling, and then the fourth level is reuse. So if you look at that that perspective, that'll have an impact as well.
Well, we knew this would be a hot topic, and we'll see how it develops from here. But let's move into the second topic. Second thing to know in supply chain now. So can you imagine if your teams experienced 95% turnover on an annualized basis? What would you get done? Not much of anything, right?
A lot of training and hiring.
A lot of training.
Retraining.
Onboarding.
The folks at TalentStream love that. But according to the American Trucking Association, driver turnover at large truckload fleets rose 5% in the third quarter to a 95% annualized rate, the highest churn since the end of 2015. A number of carriers are raising pay rates, imagine that, and intensifying recruiting efforts as the shortage rises amid strong freight volume. So the driver crisis appears to get worse, and we're curious to see how the ELD that we heard about last show, how those requirements will continue to even make it even worse. I think a lot of folks have been talking about exiting the industry due to the ELD.
Mm-hmm. So those robot trucks are going to come sooner, huh?
Yeah.
That's right.
That's right. And then, of course, electronic logging devices, ELD, to our audience for folks that may be new to that acronym.
And Lee, that, you know, all kidding aside, that does amp up the interest in having autonomous driving vehicles.
Mm. That's right.
But I don't think the turnover is just limited to truck drivers.
That's right.
We're seeing in the industry across the supply chain. We're seeing it in all areas of the supply chain.
Great point. Warehouse talent, for one. I was reading an article where, you know, folks that want to be pickers in the warehouse, that interest is at all-time lows. So we're looking at some autonomous robot solutions there. But yeah, we'll certainly a big curveball when it comes to talent and supply chain.
Because the need's there.
Needs there.
Stuff's got to move, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, I think we're actually, based on our earlier conversations of the show set, we're going to come back to this on several levels. But I think what we're looking at is workforce development and education and really perceptions and misperceptions by today's youth and frankly by their parents in how we drive people towards our future career paths. I remember going to the Georgia Manufacturing Alliance a few years back and talking about this, and every parent wants their kid to be a doctor and a lawyer, for example. And when you look at the multi-years of schooling and the debt incurred that we're hearing about, you know, with some of those type of professions, and you realize that when you look at supply chain and you look at, you know, for example, probably a company like Agility, when you're bringing people into first-year jobs who have the right technical education, which they can get in 1 to 2 years and can get in programs like Apex, they can make higher salaries out of the box than your typical lawyer and fewer hours and not have the debt. So how do we re-educate America on these opportunities?
Mm. Exactly. And we're seeing universities, you know, with four-year programs as well as, you know, master's level programs and doctorate level programs in the supply chain. And they're bringing an immense amount of talent to the marketplace.
Absolutely. Certainly no shortage of need. And the good news is, from what we're seeing from a lot of the things Apex Atlanta does, there is a lot more interest in supply chain careers amongst the student populations, especially at the collegiate level. So hopefully that continues to rise. But I think as practitioners, part of our job and part of our duty is to spread the awareness of great supply chain opportunities.
And it's almost a rebranding to kind of, you almost have to sexy it up a little bit, because I think, Rob, you hit it exactly. It's the parents that are the influencers that are saying it's not even their radar as a choice, because in their head, they're picturing these old from the 50s warehouse, dingy situations with lots of manual labor, lots of things that just today's world doesn't really represent that.
Right. And in the industry, there is still that. I mean, that is the need. A truck driver is a truck driver.
Right.
And hopefully autonomous vehicles and you know, I don't personally think the driverless truck will be the most near term solution. I think what you'll see is the shadowing vehicle opportunities where you have a manual driver who has trucks behind him that are basically, you know, kind of almost magnetically following
right.
them. But point being, I think to what you were saying, Lee, is it is about the perception and how we raise our children and how we make them aware of opportunities. And what the industry is. And it really is, and I know we're going to hear from Agility today, but it's a sexy thing to talk about technology and analytics and data when you really get into what it is.
Definitely.
I think that's something that kids can relate to, you know, just in playing games and doing the things they're doing every day. It's you know, the gamification of everything. So how do we, I guess, how do we gamify some of these opportunities?
It's part of the challenge.
Right. Yep. Definitely a big part of the challenge. You know, one of the things that's driving the need for talent and the need for workforce, sheer bandwidth, is reverse logistics, right? And we are in the king of all seasons for returns. Or am I the only one that returns some of our holiday gifts? Or
you've already returned holiday gifts?
Actually, let me make it clear to my family and friends. All of your gifts were perfect.
I think our family is single-handedly supporting some of the reverse right. logistics when it comes to returning packages. So
let's. There was a great research put out by DC Velocity and Arc Advisor Group, which they teamed up to conduct their fifth annual survey on retail fulfillment practices. And we're not going to cover all these factoids, but one stood out to me. So I was reading a Logistics Viewpoints blog written by Chris Cunane, and one of the data points he pulled out from their research was, according to the survey, 42% of their respondents, and they had over 150 companies respond and participate, but 42% of those could not measure the full financial impact of returns, which include the cost of processing, packing, restocking the item. You know, despite undoubtedly how much those activities eat into the business, too many companies cannot adequately quantify the process. That was that 42% was much higher than I would have imagined.
I'm not surprised.
No.
It's a big problem with a lot of our customers. You know, some do forecast returns and make it a supply coming in, but run into a lot of our customers who have no idea the returns, where they are. They get returned to a store and just get put in the back where, you know, back shelving. And
but how do they account for it? What's the, they must make certain assumptions. How are they accounting for it?
Accounting for the return?
Right.
Based on historical returns. But what's happening today is,
I think that's called guessing.
Yes, right.
Forecasting, guessing.
Yeah. But what's happening today is the dressing room is your bedroom. Right. And you order 3 or 4 sizes and you pick one and return 3 of them.
Well, you know, what you described earlier about things getting returned and folks just are items just being thrown in the back. That was what we did at Winn-Dixie when I was stocking, you know, as a boy back in the, early 90s. Things came back
right.
it'd go in the dark corner of the stock room. So anyway, I'm halfway kidding, but so returns and quantifying the impact on the business is a big challenge out there.
Exactly. And then when we bring in e-commerce and what store shipped the sale may not be the one that we should be planning for on the next, you know, planning cycle.
And that's what I was just going to say, it's just the omni-channel ecosystem that we've created, and stores are very challenged in even knowing where their inventory is when they're selling it, much less the return process. So it's a domino effect of, okay, we no longer have a central distribution center with a very streamlined model of getting inventory to store 1, 2, and 3, because now you're bringing the consumer in a direct-to-consumer model. And so now the inventory is messed up. And so when you bring in this return effort, which in many ways can be seasonal, obviously there's a huge push to that. So how do you finance a seasonal activity? But I think what companies are realizing, what your clients are realizing, is those 42% of respondents are realizing is that they better start figuring this out, because guessing and wondering are not business solutions.
That's right.
Exactly.
And returns are now just part of the buying process. Like you mentioned, Mark, young people today buy online, have certain expectations. They're buying 3 knowing they're returning 2 going in.
Yep.
So the customer or the person selling it thinks they sold 3. When in actuality, they're selling 1.
Those darn kids.
UPS truck sits in my house every day with a package.
I can relate.
So I'll tell you, we're diving right into some of the red meat we're going to tackle here in a minute. Want to mention one last thing in supply chain things to know right now. Christmas tree supply chain challenges. So hopefully everybody has their tree. But for the second year in a row, Americans are paying more for their Christmas trees. In addition to the price increases, overall availability is down, so you've got less choice for the average consumer. That didn't stop my 3 kids from picking out a tree in 3 minutes or less at our friendly hardware store. According to the National Christmas Tree Association, did you know that there was a National Christmas Tree Association? I didn't either, but there is. Prices across the country are up 5 to 10% over 2016. Supply is down due to a variety of factors, but the Great Recession, a lot of suppliers got out of the business. And it just so happened there was a big overplanting just prior to the big economic downturn a few years ago. Agricultural shifts are taking place, so that folks with land are planting more profitable crops. And less farms mean the distances between the farms and the markets are growing. So transportation fuel prices are impacting things as well. So if you want the real thing, you got to be prepared to look harder for it and to pay more for it. So is anyone tempted to use an artificial tree, or maybe they're already using an artificial tree this year? Chris, I'm looking at you.
Yeah, that's at the top of the waste hierarchy. Reuse. So,
way to bring it back. I think what we're dealing with is we need to seriously address the elf shortage in the workforce.
That's really the problem.
Well, you know, speaking of waste, the biggest hassle, I love a real tree, but the biggest hassle is taking it down and getting out of the house to somewhere that, you know, other than the side of my driveway, which I'll admit, sometimes it sits for 4 months. But anyway, Christmas tree prices are up. So
I have a really quick, interesting story. Is I cut down a tree in North Georgia mountains.
Really?
For the past 3 years. And the farm was trying to sell the farm. So they quit planting trees. And now the family decided to keep the farm, but they have a shortage.
Wow.
And it takes 1 year to grow a foot.
Mm.
And so you can see they're now planning. They've got a problem for the next 7 years.
Wow. Well,
in all seriousness, I mean, it ties back into some of the discussions we've already had. I mean, this is true supply chain situation. This is supply and demand economy. Yes. And this is stump to dump recycling ecosystem conversation. And it's certainly a festive time to have the conversation, but I also think it is an interesting example of the challenges we face. And I think it sets up well with what we're going to keep talking about.
Absolutely. And really one of the themes that we've talked about in the first 18 minutes of the show has been planning. And that's what we're going to dive into deeper with Mark Balti with Legility. So we're here at Supply Chain Now Radio. We're really pleased to be hosting Mark Balti with Legility. Legility, if you have your head in a hole somewhere, but Legility is the industry-leading provider of collaborative supply chain optimization and advanced retail planning solutions. They've been around a long time. Here at Apex Atlanta, we're really proud to have them to be a great advocate of the Apex community and our local chapter. They're a sponsor. They were one of the first folks to raise their hand and sponsor our chapter here in 2017. So good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
Glad to have you. Thanks for your story.
Thank you for having me. You've
got a North Virginia Christmas tree in the house right
now. Actually, it's a Fraser fir.
Oh, really? Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. That's one of the trees that they cited in the story. Well, speaking of planning, you know, certainly something's been around for at least 10 years, S&OP, sales and operational planning. Tell us about, I think one of the challenges in the marketplace, everyone has their own definition of S&OP. In the gospel according to Mark, what is S&OP?
Gospel according to Mark is when you're bringing in all stakeholders in the company. So, the marketing, inventory, sourcing, manufacturing, and finance. And finance is a key component here because a lot of customers or companies I see don't include finance, or it's only one of those silos in the company. You have to bring all the stakeholders at the table to do a proper S&OP process where we're looking at the different facets and we can lay out a plan and we move forward from that, the conference room, and that's the plan we want to lay out for the next 12, 24 months.
Mm. So how challenging is it, you mentioned conference room, how challenging is it to get all the players that need to be a part, everybody?
It's very challenging.
Yeah.
It's very challenging.
So how do companies get around that initial hurdle?
Starts from the executive and pushing it down as a priority to the company and having the tools to bring in the different facets of data to do proper planning.
Yeah, from an Apex perspective, he had mentioned the word siloed. That's something that we continually preach against is trying to streamline, create an integrated supply chain, and that's a great way to do it.
And so, what's the pain they're having so that bringing all those disparate groups together becomes a priority?
Sometimes they all have different objectives, right? Different incentives. So, I'm being incented for, XYZ, and you're being incented for ABC, then you
So in their heads, it doesn't make sense. Like, why should I bother with this? It really isn't impacting my bottom line.
Right.
Yeah, even if you look at it from an execution standpoint, and for example, in the warehouse, I'll frequently go in and see people. There's an electronics company that has exercise and gym equipment in their warehouse. And I'm like, what's the point here? That was a marketing initiative. They decided to, buy a radio, get a life stepper as well. Right. So, but the thing is, they didn't communicate that down to all the key stakeholders in the supply chain. So that's a great example. Yeah.
So for companies that may have already, they've been doing S&OP for a number of years, Gartner's got a model.
The maturity model.
The maturity model. But talk about the challenges that companies are having advancing their S&OP processes into the latter stages of that model.
So one of the things we're seeing is in some of these great examples this morning, even with the Christmas trees, is how do I have a mature model that I can even grow with? So we want to run multiple scenarios or look at some risk analysis or opportunities that are out there. And we get into the evolution of the planner, evolving more from a day in, a day out type person to looking down the line, and how do I react to risk, or what risk could be out there, and how would we react to that? Even with the Christmas tree and the China issue.
And it's not always as easy as getting an artificial tree in
the business
world.
No, it's not.
So here at Supply Chain Now Radio, we're talking with Mark Balti, the Executive Vice President of Research and Development at Legility. So Mark, let's talk about some companies when they launch an S&OP initiative, they know it's going to be the magic wand, and then it doesn't go as expected. What are some of the factors you've seen companies miss on?
Top-down executive sponsorship, full buy-in from each of the teams, executing to the plan. We walk out of the table with a plan we want to execute to. Am I communicating that down to the people that need to understand that? And then coming back the next month and reviewing where we are. Now, what we are seeing with the S&OP process, though, and going through the maturity model is right now, S&OP processes are like on a monthly cadence. We see that really moving into more of a real-time cadence. Mm.
So it's interesting, as you talk about that at the Georgia Logistics Summit, which we'll talk about more, but change management is often a topic. We have a success stories session where we get the partners together where you might bring one of your clients in and talk about what were the challenges that we were facing, what was the process to identify and solve those problems, and then how do we actually execute that? And so I think Scott was kind of preset the question that was in my head is, when you talk to these clients and technology and logistics now being such a major change issue, how do you consult them, if you will? How do you counsel them on that change management? I mean, you mentioned some key points there, but go a little deeper in helping as listeners are thinking, I'm terrified of making this change. How do you make them feel better?
We work through education. So there's obviously education out there, Aethpix and so forth. And drive some key metrics, work through some pilot programs. One of the other challenges I was negligent on is data, right? Mm-hmm. So a lot of times you see when people come to the table, they argue for 2 hours on, that's not what I have on my spreadsheet.
Right.
Well, my spreadsheet says this. So, one of the key challenges is data, and how do I get correct data that we can drive the S&OP process?
So not just all the data, we got to have the right data, right?
Correct data.
That everybody agrees.
Everybody's
right. But they're all singing from the same music sheet.
Hey, you and I always have the same spreadsheet.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I'm curious, because I think this is a fascinating topic when you get into data and technology and logistics. Like, how do you know it's the right data? Like, just because it's all in the same spreadsheet doesn't mean it's the right data. So how do you guys?
That's part of the process of when we implement or bring on board a new S&OP process. We go through pilots, right? And is this the correct data? And a lot of times, everybody says their data's pure, and then once you start these processes, find out it's not pure, and then so you have to have correct data and then put in processes in place to keep the data correct.
So let's, we touched on technology earlier, and we'll probably talk a lot more about technology today too, but sometimes companies can be missing the right technology to access the right data and then to take the right, even if they have the right data, to make the right decisions. Let's talk more about some of the missing technology that you've seen with companies.
So it's technology and people and process, right? So, we can have the technology to bring the data over, but if you don't have the processes to keep it clean, then the data is going to get bad again. Right. And who owns the data? One of the interesting things is we're seeing our supply chain departments wanting to own supply chain master data, whereas usually master data sits over in the ERP system, if you will. We're now seeing companies get to where there's supply chain master data. They want to own that because they'll take responsibility for being correct to drive these planning solutions.
Now, can you share maybe a story from a real life example of where data either was right or wrong and how it impacted the company when they either misread it or then they got it right? You don't name the name of the company, but just, you know, yeah, just an example of how it can really impact the business.
So when we look at some of these solutions that are planning out 12, 18 months down the road, and we have different inaccurate prices, right? And you're trying to optimize based on cost. You may be optimizing based on a wrong cost, which is a less profitable solution.
And you wouldn't know that until months later, right?
Unless you have some good analytics that are driving, right?
So the A word.
The A word, because data today is more pervasive, and in the access to data you have today is a lot more than you did in the past. And so therefore we have to build analytics on top of that data to take that data and serve it up into measurable actions that we can act upon.
Yeah, the other big A word there, actions. That's a key part of it, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So a big part of the solutions that y'all provide allow customers and these companies, these business leaders, to, from the big mountains of big data, to pull out the most important data and then make decisions based on the right data.
Exactly.
Right?
And if you look across, you know, I like to look at it across the supply chain, right? You have, you know, some planning, some execution occurring, and then we also look at it on a time horizon, right? Mm-hmm. So you may be planning out 5-10 years in the future. Maybe I want to bring on a new plant. What would that look like? What's the capital cost? Bringing in a little bit, you have new product introductions. You're trying to plan those out. You bring in a little bit more and you're more on the operations side, and you bring in even more, you're at the execution piece. You know, how am I executing over the next 14 days? Mm. And the data you use to solve those problems can vary. We think about the next 14 days, we may have a forecast of what we're going to sell. But if it snows, like last Friday in Atlanta, Starbucks may not be selling a whole lot of coffee.
Mm. Or if your inventory is inaccurate because you don't have a good return system in place.
You're exactly.
Back to that, right? So the data accuracy is key.
Absolutely. So let's shift gears a bit. So let's talk about, we're talking in the kind of the warm-up conversation about all of these changes, the ever-increasing dependence upon data and the ability to do something with it, the action that Rob was talking about. How has that changed, in your opinion, you know, the supply chain planner position?
The position is definitely changing, right? It's moving from more of a cadence base to a fast pace. We're seeing turnover at about 8, almost like the truckers. Mm. We're seeing heavy turnover. A lot of our customers say that's one of the biggest issues is turnover in the planning position. But also think the nature of the job is changing. So it's moving more from a cadence base to more of an action base and a continuous replanning process. And they'll spend more time doing analytics, analyzing, looking for opportunities. How do I take inventory out of the supply chain? How does the supply chain, an interesting metric is, 88% of our companies now believe supply chain is a strategic part of the company. Mm. And so it's a strategy versus a necessity.
And for context, for our audience, that's much higher than it was probably just a couple of years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it should be 100%, right?
Of course, it's 100%, partial. Yes. Yeah.
But let's conclude on this note. So analytics is part of a successful S&OP strategy,
yes.
Right? And we touched on earlier, everyone in this room kind of knows the benefits of a successful S&OP process. But in your view, what are, if you had a short list of benefits that companies gain from successfully implementing S&OP, what are some of those in your words?
Strategy. Company moving to one strategy. Mm. Everybody driving to the same metrics and pulling out inventory in the supply chain. Mm. Pulling out cost.
Yep. Terrific. Well, Logility.com. And again, we appreciate all of Logility's support for the APEX community, the APEX Atlanta local chapter.
APEX as well.
Definitely. Yep. As I was walking in with Justin Seifert, who's also here with us today, We were talking about how busy your calendar is. I don't think there's a supply chain show, summit, trade show, you name it, that Logility isn't out there talking and sharing best practices with folks. Well, we appreciate what you do. And thanks for being here with us today, Mark.
And Scott, the friends of APIX will know that S&OP is close to the heart of many, many APIX people. So just pay attention to apixatlanta.org over the next year. We're going to be having workshops, half day, full day, seminars and workshops around S&OP.
Great point and perfect segue. We're going to be talking now about, briefly, before we introduce Rob Dillon, we're going to touch on an upcoming event that we have recently finalized in the new year. So for many of you that know or don't know, APIX Atlanta formed a gender gap task force last summer, and it was kind of incredibly timely given all the headlines we've all been reading and digesting here recently. But it's all about how can everyone be successful within supply chain? How can everyone have an opportunity? So we've been bombarded with headlines lately on sexual harassment. To say the least, it's overwhelming. It can make many conversations or meetings uncomfortable. We're all maybe thinking about what we're doing or what words we're using or actions we're taking. But as men, we know the answer to harassment cannot be to simply avoid women, right? My wife would completely disagree with that approach. So as part of our ongoing Gender Gap Task Force initiative, APIX Atlanta and Show Me 50 are teaming up to drive a conversation of how men and women are trying to figure it all out. So we've been really happy that and pleased with all the great work that Elba Pareja Gallagher, who founded Show Me 50 and is also a proud UPSer, she chairs our Gender Gap Task Force, been doing great work. She is hosting a Lean In Circle, the next Lean In Circle meeting on January 15th, which happens to be Martin Luther King Day. And we invite APIX members, APIX non-members out as we're going to be facilitating an easygoing, two-way mixed gender conversation. Our plan is to really talk about some of these topics in a very frank, transparent manner, so that we all better understand what we're going through and what needs to be done and what isn't being done and all of that, all those tough topics. It's not an easy conversation, not a comfortable conversation to have, but one we need to have. So January 15th from 6:15 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. in Sandy Springs, come join us for a Lean In Circle meeting dedicated to progressive gender policies of inclusion, really, here in the Atlanta area. So one quick quote, Martin Luther King, our lives begin to end the day we become silent. So we can't draw back and not talk about it. Let's get together and have the tough conversations.
And Scott, I think it's ironic that there's a group of men in here on this show right now. Mm-hmm. And I think it's clear there's a gap. And from working with Elba, who's fascinating and what she's doing is fascinating and empowering and wonderful. I think it's incumbent on us as men also to accept this challenge and to carry the flag. And I think I would like to just put out to the audience that I'd like to challenge all of us on the male side of the equation to recognize the problem, to support the problem and figure out ways to make it better. And let's be, you know, if you want to make it a bottom line conversation, if we're sitting here talking about workforce shortages and we're talking about planner roles changing and we're talking about turnover, there is one significant opportunity out there, which is to reduce the gender gap. I mean, let's be real.
I agree.
Huge opportunity. It was put at a Georgia Manufacturing Alliance, the Georgia Manufacturing Summit last year, that you can't even begin to address the skills gap without first addressing the gender gap. And I thought that was well put by a member of the Southwire team.
And Scott, just to throw some statistics, easy for you to say, out there. We have APIX Atlanta has a CLTD class going on right now, and 75% of our students are female.
Love it.
Wow. That's great.
Love it. What That's a great, awesome. Great data point there. Great sign. So APIX Atlanta is committed to not just talking about it. We're committed to getting out and driving action as the A word, as Rob mentioned earlier. That's what's important. We can all, it's important to talk about it. It's important to get a lot of stuff up at the surface level and figure out what we're going through, but we want to take action and provide opportunity for everybody. Okay, so we are really pleased today to have here on Supply Chain Now Radio to have Rob Dillon, Rob serves as chair of the Georgia Logistics Summit Executive Committee. And what incredible work that not only Rob's been doing, but the executive committee team and the Georgia Centers of Innovation for Logistics, which strives each year for 10 years now to put on a home run exposition. So, Rob, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm glad you're here. Glad for all your volunteer leadership. So tell us, the Georgia Logistics Summit, 10 years now, we're primed for probably our biggest and most successful summit in the new year. Why do folks come out?
A lot of reasons, and I appreciate the opportunity to be here and talk about the summit. I think it's interesting just quickly that as we talk about omnichannel, as we talk about the overlapping of verticals, it's called the Georgia Logistics Summit. But as I sit here on Supply Chain Now Radio, I think what we're seeing is these lines are blurring and overlapping and frankly just being eliminated. Mm. Logistics, manufacturing, and supply chain are all becoming one world. So I'm pleased to be here and kind of help maybe to introduce the supply chain world a little bit to the Logistics Summit, because it's not just about the four methods of transportation. And in fact, this year, one of the exciting opportunities is we will actually be partnered with and cohabitating with MODEX, which is the Materials Handling Institute. Takes place every 2 years. They have the ProMat show up in Chicago, and they have MODEX here in Atlanta. And so we're actually partnered with them and cohabitating with them, and I'll talk a little bit more on that. But I think the reason to come, quite frankly, is to, as I guess our slogan is kind of to connect, compete, and grow. An interesting little background story of the Georgia Logistics Summit and as it relates to me is it was created by the Center of Innovations Logistics. A gentleman named Paige Siplon was the director back at this time. And on a personal note, as I was telling you guys kind of at the beginning when we were on our pre-show, I came into logistics about 5 years ago. And as a biz dev guy, I immediately started thinking, well, how do I grow my business? And we were a last mile trucking company, a Champion Logistics Group based out of Chicago here in Atlanta. And so I'm thinking, well, I'm going to call the ocean carriers and I'm going to call the air cargo guys. And I'm going to call the railroad guys. I'm going to say like, well, how do I help get your freight to and from where you're getting it? And what I quickly realized is those people weren't talking. They weren't communicating. There was not a chain of connection. And the Georgia Logistics Summit was created out of that gap. The idea that Paige had was to bring those four methods of transportation into a room and have a lunch. We expected about 200 people. We had over 450.
Right.
And that was, you know, the accelerant of the opportunity. And so now what we've done about 4 years ago, Janine Miller, who was the director at the time, created what was then called the steering committee. We now call the executive committee. I'm thrilled to have Scott as a member of a team. A little shout out there. And you know,
very few people say that.
What we do is what Janine's vision was to bring in, you know, the public sector is the center of innovation. So for those of you who aren't aware, the center of innovations were created by the state of Georgia Economic Development. So these were literally considered at the forefront of thought leadership by the entire country of the state taking responsibility of identifying verticals that we could help grow the businesses within that vertical and bring new business here. So the Center of Innovations, they're really the team that puts this event on. So I want to shout out to Matt Markham, the current team, and Sandy Lake and Emily Shrank Butler.
We got to get them on.
We'll work on that. For now, I'm the idiot who's going to represent them.
We got to slum with Rob a little bit.
Yeah, that's right. Just, you know, baby steps to get the big kids in the room, I guess. But So the summit was great. So what Janine's vision was to start bringing the private and public side together and really to bring the shippers into the conversation. If we're going to talk about logistics and supply chain, it's not just the providers. How do we all get in a room? How do we talk about ways of best practices? What's the future? And what do we need to do to improve all of our jobs as individuals and as companies? And so that's really what the Georgia Logistics Summit is about. I think having MODEX be involved with us this year is a huge opportunity.
Huge.
So I think with the Supply Chain Now Radio Network, you need to be aware of this event. It's a 3-day event, April 9th through 11th, coming up in 2018. It will be at the Georgia World Congress Center. It's $125, I believe, for a 3-day pass.
And registration is now open.
As a matter of fact, registration just opened this week. So timely little situation there. We plan that, of course.
Yep.
And I think it's interesting as we've had this conversation, two areas that get probably the most response and positive feedback and excitement from attendees is our tech disruptor session, where we talk about what technology is pending that's going to change and disrupt the industry, obviously. For example, I talk about autonomous vehicles are not a tech disruptor conversation because the technology is here. It's a legislative discussion. But when you look at some of the other things, when you look at data, when you look at IoT, when you look at blockchain technology, mm-hmm. those are happening now. And so we will be having multiple sessions talking about that. And then we also, our entire morning, our last day on the third day is going to be focused on women in logistics and challenges in the workforce. So again, as we circle back to those topics, there will be opportunities for attendees to learn how to tackle those challenges, how to manage change management, take the fear out of that, the execution out of that. As Mark so accurately put, there's some key solutions and strategies.
Yep. So you've grown. So the summit's grown from 400 folks to about 1,500 folks last year, 2017. A little more.
A couple more.
1,700 maybe. And folks come out to hear best practices from some of the leading companies, Caterpillar, Home Depot, Walmart, Logility. I think y'all been a part of previous sessions. You name it. Of course, having it here in Atlanta, the supply chain capital now of the universe, right, Lee?
That's right.
What a great backdrop. And the networking component. Folks come out to connect with each other as well, right? That's the connect, compete, and grow.
And that's the idea. Again, how do we connect the supply chain? As I alluded to earlier, there are some disconnects there. And so how do we connect? How do we grow our business, obviously? How do we grow our careers? And how do we grow our knowledge about what the future is providing? So I think it is considered one of the premier events in the country within logistics, especially as a state taking the mantle of driving this type of conversation and opportunity. So I applaud my home state, Georgia. Go Dogs, by the way. And I think a couple little highlights too with kind of the MODEX partnership. We actually helped facilitate with MODEX that Juan Perez, the CIO of UPS, will be the keynote speaker kicking off day one. The keynotes are actually breakfasts with the MODEX model. So we are thrilled to have kind of help facilitate that. And then Governor Deal will be stepping on stage directly after that. So what I would just say to the listeners, if you're in Atlanta, if you're in Rome, if you're in Savannah or Macon or anywhere in Georgia, or you're anywhere within our earshot, anywhere in the universe, I would highly recommend attending this show because you will learn how Georgia is a gateway to the world for doing business, getting product out, bringing product in, and providing thought leadership to help you grow your business.
Mm. Okay. Can you talk for a second about the scope of how many businesses logistics impacts? Like, how many logistics businesses are there in Georgia about?
So that's where the idiot in the room doesn't have that stat. But what I'll tell you is this.
It's thousands, though, right?
It's a huge part of the... In fact, agribusiness, a lot of people don't know, is probably the largest business in Georgia. A lot of people don't realize that. Logistics is probably right up there with it. And what I talk about is I got into logistics even when I joined this very cool universe a few years ago. What was compelling to me about it was how logistics impacts everything. As we sit in this room, and I know we're on a radio non-visual medium, but just look in your office or your car. Everything that you're looking at has been shipped multiple times. Everything from a data point of view has been managed in the supply chain network from stump to dump. Mm-hmm. As I heard Sandra at Kimberly Clark referred to recently and talking about the green side of supply chain and manufacturing. It is a huge part. It is the arteries of business is the way I like to talk about it. Literally, it's moving goods to and from. And when it fails, when it snows in Atlanta, when a truck breaks down, when data is incorrect, it can be catastrophic for business. And so I think, the stat you brought up earlier about 88% of businesses now recognizing supply chain as being a key part of their business. That's the reality we're in today. And if you're in that business or if you are moving goods and products, you need to be attending events like the Georgia Logistics Summit because you need to understand what's happening tomorrow because tomorrow is yesterday in today's world.
There's another stat where 46% of the CEOs see their supply chain dramatically changing in 3 years. Mm.
Fascinating. See, and that's why the smart guys in the room have stats.
Yes. Are they ready for the change? You're helping them.
I'd probably say 46% of those respondents are terrified.
Yes, they are.
I bet. Losing sleep at night. Well, before we introduce and move on to Chris Barnes, Rob, you mentioned technology disruptors. And I'm going to pull it out of you. You founded a new company, a new technology. And I think it's fascinating. So tell us about where you're spending a lot of your daytime, nighttime, you name it. Smash mouths.
All of that time, I assure you. Yes. So thank you for this opportunity. So before I get into that quickly, I will say, so I did resign from my logistics job back in September. Great relationship, great people. But as I talk about, the execution of logistics can be very challenging when you're in a sales environment. The technology of logistics is fascinating, which is one of the main reasons why I've retained my role at the Georgia Logistics Summit as the chairman of the event. But I have launched a new product. I have a product called Smash Mouse. You can go to smashmouseusa.com. It started as a pedal to control digital devices because I'm a very bad guitar player and everyone's using...
At least you admit it.
Yeah, I'm not afraid to admit it. Because that's the idea. I'm learning, right? So everyone's using technology to learn, play, and record music. But if you have two hands on a musical instrument, how do you control your digital device? You don't. So that's where the product came from. But I will tie it back to logistics and supply chain, and that what we're finding is, this wasn't the plan. I'd like to think I was this smart. But what we're finding is it is a bit of a universal solution. When you look at manufacturing or supply chain, for example, when you look at the conveyor belt world, a lot of that is being automated with RFID and some other things. But there's still a manual element a lot of times of checking and routing on these new, multi-channeled conveyor systems. How are the employees able to identify and route stuff quickly? And so Smash Mouse can use a one-click functionality to enable that. And so I will bring it back to logistics. I do appreciate the shameless plug.
Absolutely.
But again, it goes back to technology. And I think that's where logistics is one of the most fascinating industries in the world.
So I'm convinced there is absolutely an application for Smash Mouse in manufacturing and supply chain. In my metal stamping days when I had a phone in one hand and a keyboard in the other hand, I wish I had something for both feet. Couldn't move fast enough. So fascinating business, fascinating product. So we look forward to getting some updates in 2018 on all of its success.
One last shameless plug, since you mentioned that, we will be launching a Kickstarter campaign on January 25th of next year. You can go to smashmouseusa.com, register to be on our database, so you can be a part of the future.
Awesome. Perfect. Smash Mouse, sponsored by Supply Chain Now Radio. Awesome. Glad to have you here.
I like that.
All kidding aside, appreciate all your volunteer leadership with the Georgia Logistics Summit. It's going to be the place to be April 9th, 10th, and 11th. And of course, co-located with MODEX. We expect hopefully upwards of 2,000 folks coming out for the summit. And MODEX typically brings in maybe 30,000 folks into Atlanta for...
Yeah, and it's the who's who of the globe.
That's right.
Really is, again, if you're in logistics or supply chain or even manufacturing in the state of Georgia, this is the event that needs to be on your calendar to attend. It's a very low-cost event. MODEX is actually free. They have a little different business model, us being a government-run entity trying to not add to the government budget line. Definitely recommend it and appreciate you guys letting me be on to talk about it.
You said registration's open. Where do I go register?
Great question.
Oh, man, Mark.
Again, unprepared.
Google. We'll have a link on.
God bless technology. Google Georgia Logistics Summit 2018. You will be immediately taken to the page with the registration link. It's kind of like, I think we can all relate to this. I used to remember phone numbers, right? Mm-hmm. Like I still know my phone number from when I was 8 years old. With Google, thankfully, I don't even have to remember a website. So just Google it and you'll be able to register and attend the event. So thank you, Mark.
And also we'll have a link at apixatlanta.org.
You got it. And if you still can't find it, send us an email at EVP for Executive Vice President at apixatlanta.org. We'll make sure we get you connected. So speaking of who's who, Rob, and right before I introduce our boss today, Chris Barnes, I did want to, for the sake of timing today, I couldn't give Mark's full, Mark Baltes with Logility, his full background, but he was recently named, Mark and two of your Logility colleagues, a 2017 Provider Pro to Know by Supply and Demand Chain Executive. Is that right?
Wow. That is correct. Yes.
And real quick, what was the basis? I know all the good work. I see Logility everywhere. You can't operate or wake up in the city of Atlanta without seeing something from Logility, including a great coffee mug. But what do they recognize that?
I think it's through the innovation that we've, from my position, being in responsible research and development, the innovation we're bringing to the supply chain space, how we're adapting, and we're talking about the technology busters there, mm-hmm. and how we're adapting those technology busters into the product so that our customers, right, the planners and so forth, are leveraging those innovations to make the supply chain a strategic part of the company.
It's not surprising. The recognition and all the credentials are well-founded. For the record, let's note that Mark and I are rubbing elbows. I want to write home to Mom and tell her that I'm rubbing elbows with the movers and shakers of the supply chain space. But congratulations on the recognition.
Thank you.
And
thank you.
Appreciate all of
you. Is there a prize? Like, do they give you some?
A championship belt.
Championship belt? I do. I have a big, you know, wrestling belt in my office. I put it on every morning.
Awesome. Yeah. And all kidding aside, yeah, as Smash Mouse grows, I'm definitely keeping the business card handy.
Definitely. Absolutely. Planning and everything else.
E-commerce.
That's right. Okay. So really, Rob, Dylan, appreciate you being on the show today and appreciate Mark Balta joining us as well. We're going to shift gears to our fearless leader. We're going to spend the next 10 minutes or so speaking with Chris Barnes, the executive director and president of Apex Atlanta. Chris, good morning.
Good morning, Scott.
It's always important to have Chris here because he's the one that pays the bills. But his breath of fresh air when it comes to all things supply chain has been very welcome in the Apex community and certainly with the local chapter.
Yeah, thank you, Scott. And technically, it's the members and the sponsors that pay the bills. I just determine okay. which direction it goes.
All right. So one of the key reasons Apex exists, most of us in the room know, is to provide education, to share best practices, to really help not just supply chain professionals be more effective and more successful in their roles, but to help companies be more successful with their supply chain performance. So tell us about what's going on from an education standpoint.
Yeah, thank you, Scott. And as you know, being a key part of the leadership team, our vision is Apex Atlanta will be the go-to association for supply chain professionals. And the three things here are important: to learn, engage, and share. You know, a lot of what Mark's doing is to get his prizes and his recognition is sharing his knowledge, thought leadership. So what we do is we to help the economic engine of Georgia, you know, to keep us the supply chain capital of the universe. We have to make
Good
sure
we have to
make sure we have the right resources available. I mean, if you look at the hot topic of Amazon considering Atlanta as a spot, you know, 50,000 people—that's a lot of people—and you would hope that they're all trained and ready to start their jobs. But you know, my guess is probably some of them are going to need some help. So what we do is we offer seminars ongoing. Learning opportunities, thought leadership opportunities for people to kind of sharpen and improve their skill sets. So really, if you're looking for a job, looking for a better job, also we leverage relationships with organizations, companies that are looking for resources as well. So it's kind of what we're trying to do is just create the opportunity for people to improve their lives through better work skills, and then also make sure the companies that continue to come to Atlanta have a nice resource of skills to choose from.
Yep. So you referenced it earlier. We have 75% of our current CLTD class, which are women, which is terrific. And CLTD, for our audience, that is Certified in Logistics, Transportation, and Distribution. It's one of APIC's newest certifications. Chris, why do folks come out to CLTD and go through that?
It's the as you had mentioned, Scott, the Logistics, Transportation, Distribution focus. It's a certification that gives you recognition as an outbound supply chain professional. So Apex people probably know the inbound side, CPIM, which is all about S&OP, materials planning, inventory management. We've complemented that with an outbound certification, the CLTD, which really lets you take a look at global logistics. What are the four or five different modes of transportation? How do you link them together, called intermodal? What are international trade terms, INCO terms? What do they mean? How are they impacting global supply? How will that impact your overall supply chain reliability by making sure you have the right transportation modes to deliver product? So really, it's just getting educated on the outbound supply chain side.
So just jump in real quick. I mean, as it relates to kind of the Georgia Logistics Summit, and you mentioned Amazon and HQ2 and all that's going on. You know, one of the things that Georgia is really proud about is the last 5 years running, we've had a Fortune 500 company move to the state of Georgia, move their headquarters here. And you know, the Center of Innovation Logistics and their team actually is a huge part of that, because logistics obviously is a huge part of many of these industries and these companies. And I think I would just, you know, I have no supply chain affiliation here. I would tell the listeners again that these certifications that are being mentioned, a big reason that companies are coming to Georgia is workforce, having a quality workforce. And as much as we have that great workforce, getting these certifications are a huge opportunity because there is a need. There is an opportunity as more and more companies are looking to manage these disruptions and these intermodal omni-channel changes in our industry. So, you know, I applaud what you guys are doing at Apex and the ability to educate and certify people Because what it does is it allows Georgia to bring more companies here.
That's right.
I agree.
Absolutely. Access to workforce, and not just access to workforce, but access to a skilled workforce ready to plug and play.
It's even continuing education.
That's right.
Exactly.
Continuing learning.
Yeah. Career growth. And again,
and if they want to pivot, like there's people in other industries that might want to explore this in order to pivot into this because it is such a fast-growing and all-encompassing world.
And there are jobs available.
That's right. Lots and lots of jobs available.
Another angle on the training is it's just more than just developing the resources. We also see companies that have teams of people that they kind of use the training classes. They can be 3 hours a night for 4 or 5 weeks, where they kind of use them as a team building exercise.
Right.
They come in, they know after the certification, even if they don't pass the test or they don't want to take the test, they can still sit through the materials, and everybody on their team has a common understanding around what the organization is calling, what does S&OP mean?
Right, that terminology. Right. Now, so the organization serves individuals that want to network, they want to learn, right? But it also, like you said, you can customize some of this curriculum for individual companies and kind of help them in their training in certain areas, maybe that it's not a superpower for them.
Yeah, that's it. We Apex, the goal is to standardize terminology. So, even if it's, S&OP is what we say it the way it is wrong. But if we're all saying it the wrong way, then it's going to be consistent. So maybe that's a bad example, but what we're trying to do is develop a standard so everybody's communicating the same
language.
Right,
it's clarity in the communication.
And then what we can do, what some organizations want is from an operational perspective to say, here, we have this initiative going on. Can you come in, start with the Apex Foundation, but kind of tailor it to our specific needs?
Yep.
We do that as well.
So good stuff. If you're interested in learning more about any Apex education opportunities here in the Atlanta area, reach out to Chris Barnes at president@apexatlanta.org. Chris also serves as an instructor, and we continue to build our instructor team. We've got some world-class instructors we've been using to lead Apex.
Yeah, Scott, classes. And if I can just throw a plug out, one of our initiatives is the Veterans Support Initiative. As a chapter, what we've done after the CLTD class, which finishes up this Saturday, we've got our first veteran that we've sponsored for education.
That's fantastic.
Outstanding. Helping them earn a CLTD certification.
Correct.
Too. Yeah. Well, terrific. Good work. Appreciate what you do. And again, to our audience, if you're interested in learning more, apexatlanta.org is a website, and you can send an email to president@apexatlanta.org. Thanks, Chris. So Lee, we're going to wrap up on some events. So we invite, if you're interested in Apex or your current Apex volunteer leader, join us in Savannah on March 2nd and 3rd. We've got a new Apex chapter down in Savannah. They've already grown to 50 members strong. The Apex Southeast District, which is a volunteer staff that serve to support about 30 chapters throughout the Southeastern United States. We're hosting our next APIC Southeast District meeting in Savannah on March 2nd and 3rd. Beyond the day of 1 day of professional development and leadership development offerings that we'll be providing, we're also going to be touring the Georgia Ports Authority, which is one of the cogs making things happen here in the state. And we're going to be touring one of Gulfstream's production facilities. So find out more information by contacting me at evp@apexatlanta.org. Also, definitely want to invite everybody to the Georgia Logistics Summit, as we talked about. It's the place to be. If you're in supply chain, you've got to be at the Georgia Logistics Summit. It's written into your job requirements, I believe. April 9th through the 11th at the Georgia World Congress Center. Of course, you can reach out to us if you want more information on that. And join, as we mentioned, it's being co-located with MODEX this year. So a really exciting time. Right, Rob?
Yes, sir. And can you remind me again about the Martin Luther King Day event?
You got it. So thank you very much, Rob. So January 15th, we invite you to come out to Show Me 50 in our lean-in circle, where we're going to be having a real frank conversation on some of the challenges that we're seeing in the business environment. So join Elba Pareja Gallagher and myself in Sandy Springs, and you can find out more information at showme50.org to sign up. And one quick, I know Elba really we want to have a good mixed 50-50 balance audience. She's been conducting these great lean-in circles for a couple of years now. And oftentimes it can be, the audience can be all women. And just like, some of the things you shared earlier, Rob, we need to have a good mixed audience to have a frank, helpful, valuable conversation. So if you are a If you're a male listening now, and especially if you're in supply chain, make sure we really want you to come out and join us on January 15th, Martin Luther King Day here in Atlanta for a very frank conversation on gender challenges within the supply chain space. Okay, one final announcement.
Can Chris, I give a one real quick shout out to a, if you're out and about today, December 14th, up in the Johns Creek area, one of our sister professional association organizations, Work Council Atlanta, they are hosting Dr. Carl Mandrot for a lunch at Sugo. If you're up there in about 30 minutes, I'll see you. He is the author of the DC Metrics report for Work, and he's updating the 2017 results.
Awesome. And Brad Bossens, president of the Work Council here in Atlanta, is also a great member of the executive committee at the Georgia Logistics Summit.
Great help. Great help.
Absolutely. He's a rock and roll star, speaking of.
Everyone on the council is a star.
I mean, really.
I didn't get my plaque yet, but everyone else seems to be.
And finally, we can't give specifics here before we wrap up, Lee, but recent conversations, we, as many folks know, Apex Atlanta has been collaborating with the CSCMP Atlanta Roundtable in a couple of different events this year. We're really pleased to announce that we'll continue that collaboration in the new year, starting with the January event. So details will be coming, but we're really excited about collaborating with our fellow supply chain associations, aren't we, Chris?
Yes, sir. That's a big event we've been working many years on, and we look forward to continuing.
You bet.
So I'm guessing I can follow, is it SCN Radio on Twitter to get that update?
That's right. Absolutely. Or you can follow Apex underscore Atlanta on Twitter, or you can shoot us an email. You can send us a smoke signal. You name it.
And you can even call me.
Call? What's
Let's not get carried away.
And what's your number again?
Fax what?
So special thanks. This is Scott Luton with Supply Chain Now Radio. Really appreciate Mark Balti with Logility joining us here today.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. Appreciate all your perspective you share. Appreciate all the great work Logility is doing. Justin Seifert and Corinne Bursa, appreciate you making this happen. Rob Dillon with the Georgia Logistics Summit and with SmashMouseUSA.com. Thanks for joining us here today, Rob, and for all your leadership. Chris Barnes, as always, saving the world one warehouse at a time. Thanks for spending your hour with us here today.
Thank you, Scott.
Lee.
All right. Well, thank you, Scott and Apex, for making the Supply Chain Now radio show possible. And if you want to hear any of the other episodes of Supply Chain Now, you go to the apexatlanta.org/supplychainnowradio, or just go to the businessradiox.com website and just type in supply chain. You will find them pretty quickly. This is Lee Cantor for our producer, Katie Galley. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.